Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:05 on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, built Ford Tough Studio Boomer and Geo program. Geo will be back on Monday. I do have something on the Knicks from a different angle, but that in a moment, because I'm the mush. Well, we'll get to that in 1 second.
I am 100%.
Trust me, we'll be happy to tell you.
No, I'm not taking any L or any of that stupid ass crap that they do in the afternoon. What I am going to say is that, you know what, I did touch the money, and I feel terrible because of it, and I want to be in a good mood, and seeing the way that they play the last two games has just been
disheartening.
It has been disheartening, and you know that Jalen Brunson's coming back. He'll stabilize the team for sure. But to lose to these teams with losing records is just amazing.
Well, so here, this was the angle, because to sit here and just break down a game, blah, blah. But this is what I don't understand. We heard the clips from Josh Hart, and I actually watched most of his little session with the media last night. And what he kept saying is part what Chris just played, about how the energy's just not there. We're not playing the right way. So here would be my question. Why not?
Well, I mean, it's an 18-game season, and there always are going to be lulls.
But if you're aware of it and cognizant of it going into the game, why can't you change that?
Because they're human beings, that's why. And it's not always going to be perfect, but you don't expect it to be this bad in back-to-back games. And I know they had to fly out to San Antonio. They had to fly back to Charlotte. It's back-to-back. It's against bad teams. You don't have your point guard out there with you. You're supposed to be better defensively when you have Mitchell Robinson on the court. It's not been the case the last couple of games, and quite frankly, it's a lull. It's coming, you know, later on in the season, which is a little bit concerning, but they can get it right. And again, going into the playoffs, that's where it will all basically flush itself out, and we will see what kind of team this truly is. Well, is it going to be a team that we truly love and respect, like last year's team, even though they didn't make it? Or is it going to be a team that's overpriced, gave up too many assets to get too many guys here, and it's a team that basically falls flat on its face?
All right, so let me put this in football terms then. Let's say back in the day, the Cincinnati Bengals play a game against the Houston Oilers, and in this specific game, you guys went, let's say, 1-for-9 on screen passes.
We obviously were playing in the Astrodome. Then,
wherever you were playing.
We got our asses kicked in there all the time.
You couldn't complete a 7-yard
sounds
pass
familiar,
play.
Yeah. Sounds very familiar.
But you understand where I'm going. Are you going to tell me that following week you don't think you'd be better with your screen?
Well, you better be better, yes.
Okay.
Because your coaches are gotta practice. But here's the thing. Here's the difference, though. I just want to give you just one different thing. If you're on a really good team, and you have really high-paid players, and these players are popular, and these players are beating bad teams in their own building and celebrating those wins, and then they go on the road and they lose to teams that have losing records, that's kind of inexcusable. There are serious expectations for the team. Now, if you're on a bad team, if your team stinks and you're like the Charlotte Hornets or you're like the San Antonio Spurs who are missing Victor Wembanyama, you know, you already know that your season's in the tank and you have no chance of getting to the playoffs. So you got to give both the Spurs and the Hornets at least a little bit of credit for playing hard in games that don't mean anything.
Boomer, I'll give them all the credit in the world because LaMelo Ball played phenomenal last night. Now, these two guys I never heard of, Daquan Jeffries, a JUCO college player, I don't know who he is, and this Mark Williams, they both had big games. That I expect the Knicks to handle. But my point was, if you guys struggled in one aspect of the game 1 week, I would expect you to be better the following week at it. What was the biggest issue? Forget how they're playing offensively and all that for a second. What was the biggest issue in San Antonio, would you say?
A lack of defense and wide-open three-point shots.
Correct. So explain to me how, and I don't want to hear about the back-to-back
and
the travel.
If I'm the coach of the Charlotte Hornets, I'm saying, guys, by the way, they don't defend the three-point shot.
Great. And if I'm Tom Thibodeau, and he knows what he's seeing, and I'm sure they've gone over this, and I'm sure in film they talked about closeouts and perimeter defense, then explain to me how this team that's got OG Anunoby and Mikal Bridges allows the Charlotte Hornets to go 15 of 30 from three-point range.
Yeah, well, that's the $100 million question or $225 million question when you think about how much money some of these guys are making.
Yeah, but
I swear to God, if they are all making $1 million, I would understand it, and I'd say, you know, they're trying hard, but they're just not good enough. But they're paid to be
But they are good enough. Good enough.
That's
thing.
What I'm saying. That's why the annoyance. That's why you get frustrated as a fan. The same thing I could say for about the Rangers. Same thing. You know, if Juan Soto goes into like a 4-week slump, how do you think he's going to be treated?
Oh, no, he'll get booed. Oh. Of course he'll get booed.
I'm just saying.
We booed Derek Jeter here.
It's the gambling part of it. It's the salary part of it. And the higher the salaries get, the more expectations there are and the more intensity there is attached to a team that is falling flat on their face or playing a flat brand of hockey or basketball, which both teams seem to be playing right now.
And then the other thing, too, these starts. It's just like getting killed in the first quarter of this game. Here's Frank in North Haven. What's up, Frank?
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
All righty, Frankie, what's happening, man?
So, yeah, Boomer, I love you guys. I watch you guys every day.
Thank you.
And anyway, you know, getting on the Knicks. You know, I've been watching them since I was a child. You know, I'm 66. And, you know, what I see, and I'm a Rangers fan. I mean, what a nightmare last night, just watching both games. So, anyway, what I see from the team is they have no bench at all. None. You know, other teams have guys that just come right in and produce.
Well, in fairness, Brunson being out does, we know it hurts them in terms of their depth for sure. I mean, you're looking at, what, Precious Achiuwa and Cam Payne? I mean, I don't even know what you would say in terms of their, Precious Achiuwa is your sixth guy for sure. But, yeah, we know that. We do know this, but they still should be better than this.
But most teams have more guys that could come in and play than the Knicks. The Knicks, and then when they don't produce, they got to put the starters back in, and I'm seeing them burnt out. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing them tired, lack of interest.
Frank, I'm not saying you're wrong. I you're probably right. I hate that argument. Because the same guys that are tired and burnt out in April are the same guys, or March, are the same guys that as soon as this season ends will go play in international games because all of a sudden they found energy. And I mean, come on, they're being paid a fortune.
Well, yeah, they are being paid a fortune, but
conditioned.
And I'd also say when you look at the minutes amounts played, and I know that Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart are all up there in terms of minutes per game, but so are the other great players in the league. They're all playing about the same amount of minutes a game.
And it does look like, when you look at the last handful of games, the minutes have come down. He has used more of his bench, and maybe that is the issue.
You could say whatever you want about team shooting. There's one thing that I always worry about and I always am concerned about, and that is effort. And the effort, the last two games, has not been there, and you could see it.
And admitted by Josh Hart.
Right. I mean, so that is a real concern because that's not what these guys are being paid for. I would also say, you know, that was like the Rangers against the Flames. No effort, disconnected, disinterested, and they lose the game 2-1. And then last night they were much better in terms of at least what I would say energy and effort and forechecking. And again, you know, they end up losing a game just because they're not good enough against top-end teams. So it's kind of like kind of like the Knicks. I mean, they're a good team. They shouldn't be losing to teams like this, but they're not going to beat the Boston Celtics or the Cleveland Cavaliers, or for that matter, the Detroit Pistons if they play them in the first round of the playoffs, if they play with this effort, especially on defense. Defense is effort. That's what defense is. You know, you can mail it in all you want because you're hitting your three-pointers, but when you're not hitting your three-pointers and you're allowing the other team open shots
and a lot of them,
and in the last two games, the teams that they've played, the bottom-feeding teams that they've played, have hit the three-point shots. It's ridiculous.
It sure is. Here's Jake in Piscataway. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you doing? I know you guys are talking about, the minutes are okay, but recently they're not. I mean, he played eight guys yesterday at the end of a back-to-back. They didn't get any bench points until the fourth quarter. The guys are tired. I mean, the rebounding is bad, bad legs. The shooting is bad, bad legs. They're tired.
What about the teams they're playing against? Are the teams they're playing against are not tired? The teams they're playing against have losing records. They have nothing to play for, yet they're beating teams.
I understand, you're going to be in the majority with this, and I'm in the minority. I can't take the tired conversation, though. You're getting paid 30, what is Karl Anthony Towns making? We're going to say he's tired for his $40 million a year contract?
There are going to be times in every season for every team that they're going to have lulls.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And this could be one of those lulls. But the fact is that it's one thing if you're playing a team that's around 500. It's another team if you're playing teams that are most likely going to be in a lottery.
You know what the Hornets' record is at home this year with last night's win? 11-25. Oh, Robert in Queens. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Good morning, Jerry. I just got to throw this in. You know, you guys have the greatest show with the Chairman Boomer and Al, Eddie, Gio. But I got to say one thing. We're now a week into it. Come on, guys. Give kudos to Jerry. Jerry has seamlessly sat in that chair and been great.
Robert,
Boomer, you've grown Jerry into something big because... You guys did him. It's a trick this week.
Well, I appreciate everything that, Robert. Thank you.
Everything seemed like a trick.
Let me tell you, Gio, we miss his imitations, etc. But Jerry, come on, from the and everything else that you were to sit in that chair and be what you're doing, guys, kudos to you.
Thank you. Great show. Very nice. But Jerry's good at this. He's done this a million times,
have I not?
Yeah, by the way.
But thank you, Robert. That's very nice.
You know, Carl.
Below me.
Carl Anthony Towns is making $50 million.
Oh, not 40. 50 million.
OG's making $36 million, almost 37. Brunson, 24. Mikal Bridges, 23. And Josh Hart, 18. And after that, it kind of drops off a little bit. Mitchell's making 14.
I admit I am in the minority in this. Right. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that these guys are tired.
I'm tired. I have to stay up at night and watch these games, and I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I got to come in here. I'm tired.
I know you are.
But I don't complain about it, Jerry, because I love coming to work.
And I don't think the players are complaining about it. It sounds like it's more the fans that give them the excuse of being tired.
Go after Al.
Gerardo in Scranton. What's up, Gerardo?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Love your show. I'm good, man. Driving to work here, and I'm listening to you guys talk about the Knicks, and I'm thinking, like, man, I am so tired myself. Like, I got a 3-month-old at home, and she's absolutely wonderful. I love her to death, but... we've been up all night, and I'm a serviceman, so I run wire for a living, and I get paid maybe $30 an hour. And, you know, all I want to do is watch the Knicks play a good game of basketball, and it's like they're completely lost without Jalen Brunson. And it's like, how can you blame that they're tired?
I agree.
I'm tired. You know what I mean? And I'm here, and I'm calling you guys, and I'm up, and I'm ready to go. So it's like,
hey, Gerardo, I completely agree with you. And before I let you go, just one quick question. Eddie would like to know where he can apply. He heard $30 an hour.
So it's great living up here in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's much cheaper than New York City.
I'm sure it is.
I'm from New Jersey, so that's why. But
well, appreciate you checking in. Maybe you'll see Eddie roaming the streets in Scranton maybe next year. Yeah, you never know.
Well, what was hilarious, yesterday I'm talking to my son, Gunner. And Gunner's got a great job, and his company's based in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to go up to Boston a couple days a week and usually takes Amtrak, you know, because that's the best way for him to go up there. He lives in New Canaan. So yesterday they do have an office in New York, and they said, if you want to go to New York, you can go to New York. So it was all great. I'll go to New York. And, you know, he's got to take Metro North. And so yesterday he calls me like, it's, I don't know, 6:40 at night. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, yeah, I'm sitting here in Grand Central waiting for a train. I'm like, Gunnar, it's 6:40 at night. He goes, yeah, I know. I got, you know, I went to the New York office today. And I said, you are really actually commuting now?
Wow.
And he goes, yeah, you know, this damn thing cost me $34 round trip.
Yeah, welcome.
And
welcome.
I'm like, yeah, well, welcome to the real world, kid.
That's exactly right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so I understand what that previous caller was talking about. You know, you get up, you go to work, you get paid, and
don't want to hear that they're
tired. You don't want to hear that athletes, highly conditioned athletes,
yeah,
that should be taking care of themselves. And by the way, I'll tell you on the other side.
And to be clear,
I heard a really funny story yesterday.
We'll get to that in a minute. The players didn't say they're tired. It's the fans that believe that they're tired.
I mean, Josh Hart, to his credit,
said there was no effort.
He says there's no effort, but he also said, you know, the travel,
yes,
and the weird schedule
maybe plays into it.
Knocked these guys off a little bit of a, you know, and they look like the turnovers are the thing. They're startling. Sloppy, startling turnovers.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's the Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, 7:30 on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Built Ford Tough Studio, the Boomer and Geo Show. Geo will be back on Monday morning, fresh and ready to rock off his Disney vacation. Chris Lopresti, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing okay. Good Brought morning. To you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Second half beatdown for St. John's last night in Providence as they did pull away from Omaha to take their NCAA tournament opener.
Center to the right side, Ibanayo. Back to Leotopoulos. Left side three. It's good. Stand up, Greece. Lefteris Leotopoulos with a three. St. John's by 30.
Everybody. Hi. That's the wrong button. Everybody getting in the mix with Chris Carino on the call.
Courtesy straight cash, homie.
Of the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. It was straight cash in the second half. 50-25 in favor of the Johnnies as they win going away 83-53. So we heard serious Rick Pitino last hour, yes, kind of getting after his team a little bit, saying they didn't play particularly well and they'll have to be much better against John Calipari's Arkansas team tomorrow afternoon. But he had his fun as well stepping in for Zubi Ejiofor here when he was asked this question post-game.
Usually, after a win, like when we're talking to you, you seem very upbeat. You do not.
Are you a psychologist now?
Well, I mean, on the side, but you don't seem as upbeat as usual. Is there a reason for that?
Tell me, your girlfriend broke up. Did you give him a psychological thing? Tell me.
No girl issues, but.
All right, so they had their chuckle there. Ejiofor then offered this answer with another chime-in from Pitino.
We got one down, we got five to go, and you don't see the smile on my face, but I'm pretty much happy for, you know, what we accomplished today, but we still got more work to be done.
Anybody have any Prozac out there? Forgive me. I
haven't heard a Prozac reference in a while. It's kind of interesting. Now, prior to last night's game, you had BT in his usual spot with Sal, middays here on The Fan, remotely from Providence, and Sal had sent BT a clip from Pitino's Wednesday press conference leading up to the game, where he was asked about the end at Louisville, which was obviously not pretty.
Right.
And then ending up in Greece, coaching overseas, all part of the adversity we've heard him talk to his players about this season.
It didn't stop me from being bitter at all. It just said, let's get on with it. It's just adversity, and adversity, you can look it square in the eyes and just piss all over it if you're smart. So don't hang your head. Just pick yourself up, get on, become the best EuroLeague coach you could possibly be and move on. And then I came back and tried to be the best coach in the MAC conference I could possibly be. So it's been fun. It's been a blast.
So Sal texted that to BT Wednesday evening, I guess. Okay. And you want to talk about Prozac or a stimulator? Doesn't take much to get BT going, as we know.
And when you sent me that clip, by the way, I hadn't seen that in its entirety, so I fired that up in the hotel. I wanted to jump through the window.
Right?
I wanted to do something aggressive. That was awesome. That was a good find on your part. That was money.
Yeah, so that's kind of typical of what we've come to know about him. God. A lot of testosterone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I will tell you this. Just prior to that exchange, in the preceding commercial break.
This is Boomer and Sinzer with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Sponsored by TGL, presented by SoFi. Tune in every week for TGL matches.
All right, so you sound normal to start there, but
sounds,
I guess,
fine.
You were on some Prozac or speed or something, because in the next breath.
Tonight, number 15 Omaha challenges number 2 St. John's. Johnny's Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino has assembled a gritty, top-ranked defense that evokes memories of Gotham's famed city game. Pitino's behind-the-scenes biggest weapon has been Booster Mike Rapoli. If he can sell vitamin water and body armor super drink to Coca-Cola for billions, he can sell any super stud on the joys of playing in Queens and Madison Square Garden. A Boomer Esiason.
You know what? That's a lot to get in 15
That's very
seconds.
Concise, Boomer. I didn't know you could talk that fast.
Where's that energy this morning? Let's go.
Man, I had it.
Fire up.
I mean, listen, I tape those things, and, you know, sometimes I got to speed them up to fit them in.
Yeah.
Oh, like, hey, they took a minute away from me. What can I tell you?
Two more times.
Yeah.
What they should do.
Rocking and rolling.
Is cut out the intro and just get into it. It would save a little bit of a couple of seconds.
I can get more in. Yeah, I can get more stuff in there. Yeah.
Boy.
I think they sold a half of my minute to, like, BetQL or something. Isn't that right, Eddie?
Yeah, I believe something like that. Yeah.
Half of your minute.
The sports minute. Which is fine. It made it easier for me. That's all right with me.
The Odyssey funny. Sports half minute doesn't flow as well. But
you know, stuff to get a lot of stuff in.
Well, you got your Mike Rapoli in there, and body armor, and vitamin water.
And you did. You characterized it right. The pizza. I won't say where.
Yeah.
It looks like frozen pizza.
It is brutal.
Yeah. So not great. Not great.
Yeah.
Not saying it didn't taste good, but it didn't look good. That's for sure.
You know, we have an alum from the University of Maryland. We have a lot of alums, but we have one guy that I know is worth billions and billions and billions, and too bad he doesn't love sports. If that guy loves sports, University of Maryland would be number one in everything.
Be your Mike Rapoli.
He would be our Mike Rapoli, yes. Mm-hmm. But Mike loves sports, and he loves St. John's, and he's doing the right thing, paying it forward, giving back, all those kind of things.
I would think every school has that.
And this billionaire does not like sports. So
I don't think he does. He's probably more into probably ramped up the engineering school.
Kane University, you're getting nothing from Al.
Speaking of billionaires, how about the Celtics sale, man?
Yeah, $6.1 billion. What did they buy for $350 back
something
in the
like
day?
That.
And by the way, they're going to be approaching next year when Jalen Brown's contract kicks in.
Oh, the contracts. Yeah,
when it kicks in, they're going to be approaching in terms of total contracts and
luxury tax
and all that stuff. As we sit right now, depending if they make any moves, $500 million.
Yeah,
for players.
Good time to sell.
It is a good time to sell.
All right, let's head to Charlotte.
Somebody else's problem.
Yeah, exactly. Where there wasn't much to get excited about from a Knicks standpoint. It's kind of referenced here by Clyde Frazier right after Kenny Albert, I guess, was so bored with the Knicks that he had to work in some other material unrelated to the game action.
They welcomed a bunch of groups on the scoreboard who were at the game today, and one of the groups listed Villanova alumni. They couldn't figure out if they were talking about the guys on the court or perhaps some other alums in the stands. Towns on the feet from McBride.
McBride, like Lazarus, has risen from the dead. Started to switch now.
Yeah, that was short-lived.
The Knicks needs to rise from the dead, yes.
Well, yeah, I think that's what he was getting at that point in the game for Deuce McBride and for the team as well. But they end up losing to the lowly Hornets 115-98. LaMelo Ball, 25 points, 8 assists for Charlotte as they improve to 18-51. The Knicks fall to 3-4 without the services of Jalen Brunson, who is out of the walking boot and I guess is doing some work, and they're hoping to have him back near the end of the regular season to knock off some of the rust. Josh Hart keeping it real afterwards. Had that seemingly had an excuse for pardoning the loss to the Spurs the night before, not so much after this one.
Yeah, we've had a terrible two and a half weeks of travel, but all teams go through terrible, you know, travel periods during the season. And it's not an excuse.
We kind of saw the light after what he said post-game San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Not where they need to be or meeting the standard right now.
We're not doing what it takes. We're not doing the extra effort. We're not giving energy. We're not giving the right output. We're crying to refs. We got to pick it up.
All right, it's good self-evaluation, self-awareness. That's great. What do they do when the playoffs start? Do they continue with this starting five, or do they move Josh Hart to the bench and bring him off the bench?
You're saying beyond when Brunson gets back.
Yeah. When they're totally healthy, does it look different, or does Tibbs stay with the starting five?
I don't know. It's going to be, to me, what's working at the time.
Is Mitchell Robinson going to be able to play longer? I know they're taking it easy with him. They're being very careful. I don't think he plays more than 20 minutes.
I would imagine.
Since everybody, the minutes police out there are freaking out.
Which, by the way, overdone. That's all. We were looking at that, overdone.
Yeah, I mean, the top 20 players in the league are all within 1 minute of each other. The amount of time they stay on the court. It's just that the Knicks have three of like the top 10.
Well, that's what he referenced Tibbs recently when he actually acknowledged a question about it. He's like, "Well, my wing defenders are going to play more because some of the best players in the league are wing players and they're playing just as many minutes."
Yeah, and I love when you say wing defenders. Yeah. How about defending?
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be good. Mm-hmm. So let's not call them defenders until they start defending. Now that's fair. They can defend. We've seen it.
Yes, not right now, though.
Man, if this team turns it up in the playoffs, that means that this has just been a walk in the park for the regular season.
Oh, maybe
a lot of people do believe that.
And that goes back to your question about Robinson. So right now, they want to make sure they get him healthy into the playoffs. And once they're there, maybe they can ramp it up a little bit.
So I was telling you about the University of Maryland alum, who's one of the richest men in America. His name is Sergey Brin. You know what he founded?
Brin Jewelers.
No. Google.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's only worth about $165 billion.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't like sports.
I think a $10 billion check to the University of Maryland for their sports program would cover everything.
$10 billion?
Yeah, that would be great.
I think they should.
We could just convince him to do that. That would be awesome.
It's a write-off for him.
I suppose it would
give
be.
Everybody a free Gmail address or something like
it
that.
It is free. What are you talking about?
Or I say I should say Gmail stock.
That's right? Different.
Gmail stock, Google stock. Google
email stock. Is one thing, is like the papers. Alphabet I don't know why stock. They didn't charge for that when they first started. All right, it's know. Like it makes no sense.
Al was hung up yesterday on how Time Warner wrecked America on AOL. It's
I get that because it was good at the time. And they went after something that they didn't know what they were doing, and they ruined everything.
I get it. Just a question for you guys.
Okay.
I did something yesterday that I haven't done for a while. Ooh. And I had to start by doing it by saying to the person that I left this message for, I don't know if it's taboo to leave a voicemail message anymore.
Oh, okay.
So I left the voicemail message. Is that
still it's fine. Accepted? Everybody's got voice to text. Like, if you leave me a voice message, it will show up in my text inbox.
We'll transcribe it.
Yes.
It will, okay.
So it'll be fine.
No, you can still leave a voicemail.
You sure. can. All right, I didn't know if that was still taboo or not, so.
I know where you were going. You said that didn't something I haven't done in a long time. Yeah. You never know where that.
Yeah, I haven't left a voicemail message in quite some time. I don't remember the last time until last night.
Well, you know, once in a blue moon, it happens.
Yes.
Right? The Nets falling to the Pacers in overtime, 105-99. But as Jerry referenced last hour, the kind of big takeaway from this one was the little brouhaha that occurred. By the way, was Huesler doing the game solo last night?
He might have been. I don't know.
Because yeah, probably were saving money.
Just him here in this clip. And when I was driving.
Did he have to drive to the game?
No.
He was in Indianapolis. Yeah, I hope not.
Maybe he had to drive to the game.
I don't think so. When I was driving from SNY back to here last night, when they were in overtime, it was all him. There was no Capstro. So I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, here's that sequence.
So after Russell off of the steal and score, now we have a brawl breaking out. A timeout was called, and then Watford got into it on the floor. Fists were exchanged.
Punches thrown,
and now a real scrum is underway. As security has to rush onto the floor.
Somebody throw a punch or something.
It looks like order has been restored.
Shoving and grabbing.
Yeah, grabbing, a lot of yelling and threatening, but I don't know.
That's it.
It's a little anticlimactic. Not that I'm rooting for guys to get knocked out on the court or anything like that, you know? I think
if you're going to get into a brouhaha, you might as well just start throwing haymakers.
Sure, like they do on the ice, right? Rangers could have used that last night, but they didn't. They lost to Toronto 4-3, twice tied the game, and then quickly gave up the lead, and then fell behind 4-2. Of course, they pulled the goalie and get a late goal to make it a one-goal game when it wasn't really that close.
So, they played better, but that doesn't mean anything.
They played better, but they played a better team, and that showed.
Right, and they're dropping in the standings.
You get nothing. Yeah. You lose. Good day, sir.
So Rangers lost, Devils lost, Islanders won. Islanders and tied with the Rangers now with 72 points, correct?
Is that you?
I'm asking.
Ushering
you.
Me along?
No, yeah. I think the Islanders have overtaken the Rangers.
I think they're even on points, but the Islanders have,
well,
game,
they have two
games
in hand.
Yes, which helps, obviously.
What else?
Chris King calling the Islander game winner in overtime last night. I did find it. Yep. Had to dig a little, but we did find it. Thank you for the tip there, Jerry, as they blew a two-goal lead in the third period, but then did emerge victorious in the extra session.
Islanders a 2-on-1 the other way. Horvat with Palmieri. Bo, left wing over the Montreal line. Look, shoot. He scores! Bo knows big goals! An overtime winner for Horvat! And the Islanders beat the Canadiens here tonight. 4-3 is your final. They are 2 points out of a playoff spot with 14 games to go.
Yay! Hell of a call.
Yeah, it's a very
good
call.
I mean, we understand it's high-pitched, but he covered a lot there.
That's fine.
Good energy, good excitement.
He's passionate. There's
I would
no
probably
question
sound the
that.
Same, by the way, if I had to do that like he did right there. You know?
Very so good, well done
good,
by Chris
Good job
Day.
On him.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Geo will be back on Monday as his vacation comes to an end. If you're just joining us and you didn't stay up, St. John's did rip through Omaha last night by 30 as they win their first round NCAA tournament game. UConn plays later tonight as well. A couple of other things coming up in just a little while. Just one more call on this and we'll move on. Ron in Orange. What's up, Ron? How are you? Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm just wanted to talk about the way Tom Thibodeau is not using his bench. I mean, it's just annoying to watch them, the way they're playing, that these guys can't even smell the court.
But well, we need to get him in to see how they
go. Who in particular? Who do you want to see get more minutes? Who in particular?
I would say in time, with the way they play, pull all five of them out. Put them in. Let these guys think about what's going on. They got the reserves out there playing. Maybe they come out playing better.
So that's more like disciplinary and you're pissed off. I get that. And I've seen that done many times where teams have done that. They pull their five guys off the floor, take the next five, and basically teach them a lesson. I get that.
Yeah, Pat Riley would do that. But I don't necessarily know that Tom Thibodeau is going to do that. You know, he's a grizzled NBA coach who kind of understands the ups and downs of travel and minutes and all this other crap. When I look at, you know, the way the Knicks have played, the one thing I will say about them that I do appreciate is that all five starters have played more than 60 games.
Yeah, good.
And when all five starters are out there, they're playing more than, you know, 35 minutes a game. I mean, they're actually playing. They're living up to their contract in the sense that they are on the court and they're playing basketball.
Not a lot of maintenance days for these
guys. They may not be playing. I mean, Carl Anthony Towns has had a couple with a knee thing here or there. You know, this may be good for Jalen Brunson, too. Who knows?
That's what I was saying. This might be a nice break for him.
And, you know, maybe he comes back with fresh legs and hopefully his ankle's fine. But, yeah, I mean, their bench is not the deepest of benches, of course. We know that. But it's going to be an 8-man, maybe a 9-man rotation when we get to the playoffs, assuming everybody's healthy. But if the other team's best players are on the court, he's going to match up with his best players.
No question about it.
The other problem I will say is that, you know, their bench, when their bench does come on the court, they usually are outplayed by the other team's bench who is better.
I suppose. I mean, Deuce McBride's especially pretty
Boston,
damn good.
Especially Boston and Cleveland.
Well, and that's the upper echelon of the league, of course. Just quickly, because we haven't done much on it, not that I think we will. We are still almost a week away from the start of the baseball season, at least, you know, for the rest of the league, not the Dodgers and the Cubs, of course. Any concern at all? You know, we've talked a lot about the Yankee injuries, and, you know, we did that earlier in the week. And, you know, we'll see next week what the lineup looks like. But with the Mets, you know, we've talked about the pitching and the starters and you know, the pitching lab and all that stuff. How about the fact, and I only bring it up from the standpoint of someone called and asked, it was yesterday or Wednesday, they were asking you about the concern of Edwin Diaz and if Edwin Diaz can return to be that dominant closer he was a couple of years ago. When you see he's throwing 93, 94 in spring training, does a red flag go up? That maybe the Diaz that was signed to the big deal is the Diaz can still be a good closer for sure, but not the dominant Diaz you kind of expect him to
be. Yeah, I don't know how hard he's pushing it right now. I mean, he's got to push it, you know, when they get up here and they get ready to go for the regular season. So hopefully he's going to be able to hit, you know, 99, 98 like he has.
Which is when he's at his best.
Right, and the ball is moving. It's not just sitting there in the center of the plate, and he's able to move the ball inside and outside, which is where he gets himself in trouble when he, you know, obviously guys are knowing that he's throwing heat, and they're going to just sit on the fastball. So I just hope that, you know, his ball comes back with the movement that we saw when he had his great season and that he feels good, and right now he's just going through the normal transition from showing up to spring training, going through spring training, and then on opening day, he's going to be ready to go.
And you're right. You know, when you talk about, I'm talking about velocity. When you talk about movement, that is his game. And even last year, there were a couple of times where he faltered, and just remembering as you're talking about it, where he would say post game, the ball's just not doing what I want it to do, which is also a concern when that starts to happen.
Two guys that I think of about the way, and I know there are millions of guys, and there are other great guys too, but two in guys in particular that could just basically control the ball and throw it where they wanted to throw it, when they wanted to throw the type of pitch they were looking for to get it out. One is Mariano.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he was on and that cutter was on, it was impossible, especially against, you know, left-handed hitters. He was amazing. The other one is Greg Maddux. And I was watching a YouTube video with Greg Maddux and the things that he was capable of doing with that baseball was remarkable. It's kind of like Paul Skeens now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if you saw this. They were showing Paul Skeens pitching this year in spring training, and his arm is like at a three-quarter slot, and the ball looks like it's about 5 feet outside, and then as it approaches the plate, it ends up 3 inches inside.
I believe it.
I mean, it was ridiculous, and when you watch how he's able to control the ball and how much movement he has on the ball, no wonder why. You know, he is as good as he is and how, you know, how great he can be, assuming he doesn't end up having to have elbow surgery.
I know Craig back in the day claims that he hit Mariano Rivera in the batting cage at Yankee Stadium, which he didn't. He had a sideways, he hit a sideways foul ball.
Olivia Gallati out at Hofstra.
No, he didn't.
And I don't want to
hear
it.
Very similar because yes. I was there that night. He claims he did hit, but what he did in Al Duke's Little League, he hit foul balls sideways. He never came forward with the ball.
Olivia was throwing gas, and he couldn't keep up with it.
But it is one of the cool things, even though Craig might have thought he hit off of Mariano Rivera, that is one, and maybe virtual reality will do this one day. I would love to know what it's like to stand in the batter's box against a major, and I don't mean a guy throwing BP. I mean a major league pitcher. Like going up against a Jacob DeGrom who's going to throw a slider at 93 miles an hour that looks like it's going to hit you in the waist and then zip over the middle part of the plate.
Yeah, that's why I say it's one of the hardest things, if not the hardest thing to do in professional sports is hitting that baseball. That was especially great. Against a top-end pitcher.
Well, you took me that one, I think it was it Mets-Yankee? I think it was Mets-Yankees. I went with you and we sat in amazing seats right behind home plate.
Yep.
And Max Scherzer was pitching and it was before Scherzer kind of spit the bit. And was still on top of his game. And we really could see, A, the velocity from both sides. I remember was pitching for the Yankees. But the movement on the ball stuff was just unbelievable.
And you understand now why all these arms end up undergoing surgery.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's the
velocity.
The excess velocity. But it's the
twisting. The twisting with the velocity.
When I would say in the 80s, I could be wrong, but I would think, if I remember correctly, it was fastball, curveball, changeup.
That was pretty much it.
Then the slider became something. Now you hear guys say they have 9 pitches.
Yeah, you got cutters.
Think about all the different ways you're twisting the arm and the elbow. So
right, and also using your fingers.
That too.
It's all the grip and the attached, everything. And
I'd love the stress and pressure
that is on the elbow. Nowadays, because if you remember, Nolan Ryan and Tom Seaver basically had a very similar motion.
Mm-hmm.
And many would tell you that they had the perfect motion and that they would use their lower body, which would generate really all the velocity.
Right.
But they had the ability to pitch, not just throw gas. They knew where to pitch it, you know, and sometimes, and I remember, like Nolan Ryan would start out the game, maybe he'd throw 94, 95, and then all of a sudden the seventh inning he's throwing 99.
He's throwing harder as the game went on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it goes back to Maddox, too. He knew how to pitch, not just throw. Right.
And both of those guys, you know, Seaver and Nolan Ryan, knew when to throw high and tight.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.